out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him at once." Anybody count how many times that word glorified or glorify was mentioned there? Five times. In Scripture, we know if anything's repeated, it's really important. If it's repeated five times, it's mega important. Well, what we're going to do today is find out if there is a purpose to everything that's going on. In your life individually, in the life of this nation, humanity throughout the world, is there a purpose? Is there order? Is there a grand plan? Or is this just come and get what you can when you want to get it kind of deal? There was a time when there was not purpose or order or a grand plan from human beings' perspective. There was a time when there was no purpose, there was no order, there was no grand plan. Over in Genesis 1, 1 through 3, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And listen to what it says then. "The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep." There was a time, thousands of years ago, when there was no order, there was no grand plan from human being perspective. There was no purpose for what was going on. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Scripture says, "And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." No, I didn't turn to the wrong page. We're going somewhere, okay? What is this all about, remember? And then, in the midst of this just chaos, where there's no order, there's no purpose, Jehovah God spoke and he said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Let there be light, and there was light. Why? Why did God do that? Ultimately, why? What is taking place? Why in the midst of this? He's okay. He doesn't need it. Do we understand that? He is sovereign and eternal in the past and eternal in the future. He has always been. He doesn't need this. God, why did you make that profound, beyond profound statement, "Let there be light," and there was light? Well, we find the answer this morning in these two verses that we just read. We find the answer to why God said, "Let there be light," and then created all that is. It's answered in these verses we just read. Five times, in fact, it's mentioned. "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him at once." That's what it's all about. That's why God said, "Let there be light." And that's why he continued his act of creation, speaking all that is into existence for this one specific purpose, to glorify his name. And folks, that's the only thing that's going to make your life make sense this morning, and mine as well. That is the only way we are going to find out that there is purpose, that there is order, and that there is a grand plan. You take that out of the equation, and it's chaos. I thought it was interesting. You can read the first three chapters, basically, of Genesis, and the last three chapters of Revelation, and you see it. what started and what ended, and that tells us what was going on. Do you know that many people who are what we would call successful, would you think conquering most of the countries of the world would be a big deal? Would that get you on a top 10 list of important people? You're pretty close. Alexander the Great conquered most of the known world while he was alive and did it in rapid fashion. Alexander the Great was depressed toward the end of his life because there were no other kingdoms to conquer. We find that most of the leaders of Nazi Germany are going to create the Third Reich that will last for 1,000 years. It maybe eked out 10. Most of those most powerful people at that time in the world killed themselves. And we find this through history. A lot of the great minds, look at the Hollywood crowd. Those folks are taking this, drinking that, snorting this, doing everything to get rid of some kind of pain in their life, even when they seem to have it all. What's going on? They don't understand the purpose of all that is. Well, that's what this is about, that God the Father and God the Son be glorified. Now, let me bring this home to where you and I live. That is the only thing that's going to bring purpose and meaning to your life and to mine. You miss that one, folks, and it's chaos. You miss that one, and depression is your next door neighbor, and he or she comes over often to your house. You're going to be unhappy. You're going to be unfulfilled. You're going to be looking for whatever. But if you understand what it's all about, you have joy and peace and contentment all your days. God the Father and God the Son are going to be glorified. That's why He created all that is, to bring glory to His name. That's why He sent His Son to the cross, to glorify His name. God the Father and God the Son will be glorified. That's what Jesus is saying in those two verses that we read this morning. Now, don't forget the context of this. He is less than a day away from dying. A horrible death. Rejected by virtually everybody that knew Him or that He knew on this earth. And you would say, that at this time? Now is the Son of Man glorified and God is glorified in Him? Judas is going out. Judas is going to go betray Him. The betrayal by Judas is going to mean they're going to come to arrest Him. And they're going to come to arrest Him. And they're going to humiliate Him. Now, is the Son of Man glorified? Is that the right word there? Jesus, you're going to be glorified. You're going to be hung between two thieves. You're going to be spit on. You're going to be beaten beyond recognition. You're going to be hanging naked as men and women file by the cross and spit on you and curse you and mock you. That's being glorified? Yes. How is that being glorified? Jesus, God in the flesh, is going to willingly give His life for the sins of the people that He created in perfection, yet they sinned. And that sin nature was passed down to every person born. You and I are in that group. And he is going to be glorified, and the Father is going to be glorified, because he's going to go to the cross and die on the cross. His blood is going to be shed, and that blood that is shed will atone for the sins of the world, so that those that they created could be like them in character, holy. That glorifies the Son. That glorifies the Father. That's what's going on as he said that at this crucial, crucial time. That's what it's all about. If you miss that, folks, your life is going to be chaotic. Your life is not going to make sense. Your problems are going to have problems. It's just chaos. But when you become like him, as these four precious folks gave testimony that they have, the chaos of their life all of a sudden left, and their life makes sense now. Right, guys? Because now, Hope and Eben and Ryan and Brandy have the character of Jesus Christ. Now, we're not doing Mormon stuff here, okay? They didn't become gods, all right? But they have the character of God, and so do you if you're in Christ Jesus. And that glorifies him. New creatures in Christ Jesus. That's how God glorifies himself, and how the Son was going to glorify him to make that possible. Now is the Son of Man glorified, even though he was humiliated. That act of sacrifice and the atoning death on the cross made it possible for his creation to bring glory to his name as they became new creatures in Christ Jesus, and they would be you and me if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now is the Son of Man glorified. And then he said, and God is glorified in him. You notice it's not a 1 point, 2 point, 3 point deal, sweetheart? Okay, all right. All right. That's a family issue. Don't worry about it, okay? All right. John gets his way this morning, okay? Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. We're going to look at several passages of Scripture. Consider this. The ultimate goal, the ultimate plan, the purpose, we read about in Psalms 46:10, be still and know that I am God. Listen to what God said. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Now that's Jehovah God that said that. And he gets his way, because he is sovereign. He said, I am going to exalt my name in the whole world. Psalms 57 says, be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. And God is glorified in him. That's his plan. This is how that plan's accomplished. God the Father is glorified in and by his Son's obedience. So Jesus, when he is just hours away from going to the cross, he said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. Do you see that? Do you see the richness of what's going on here? This is that grand plan from before the foundation of the world, and it's just moments away. Now is God glorified in me. Now I am to be glorified. Philippians 2:9. Some of you committed this to memory. Therefore God has highly exalted him. Him being Jesus, and bestowed on him, Jesus, the name that is above every name, So at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Would you say that's being glorified? Now listen, okay? And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Listen, to the glory of God the Father. That verse capsulizes what we're trying to get at this morning better than any that I could find. That's what it's all about, folks. And it is going to be just as sure as let there be light and light happened. This verse is going to be in every one of our futures because our knees will bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Adolf Hitler is going to kneel and proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord. The most debaucherous people around, all those ISIS characters, they're going to kneel. They're going to kneel and proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord. Folks, it is going to be just as sure as there was light when he said, let there be light. I want to read some passages of Scripture so that we leave here this morning with the understanding that that's what it's all about. And the only way that your life is going to make sense if it doesn't is to get under this spout of knowing that all that happens is for the to bring glory ultimately to God the Father and God the Son. Now, if you've got a label maker out, put it in your purse or in your pocket or something. Anybody got any label makers out? Okay, no labeling is what I'm saying, all right? I'm just going to read the word to you, all right? So don't go, okay? I talk to the Lord, he'll get you if you do, all right? Listen to this, Ephesians 1, 3 through 14. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love he predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. Listen to this. To the praise of his glorious grace. What he did in our lives through the act of salvation, he did to the praise of his glorious grace. It's not about us, folks. This isn't so you feel better. This isn't so you have a good day tomorrow. This isn't if you have a profitable year when you total it out here in a few months. None of that. It's all about to the praise of his glorious grace. He is going to be glorified. That's what it's all about. Do you see then why you can have a bad day and it's really the best day that you can have? Because you got a day? Do you see that if you don't have a day, what's going to happen? To be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord? Because of his glorious grace. Wouldn't that be worthy of praise? I read on. Which he has blessed us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. Anybody got a sin in here that exceeds the power of the blood of Jesus Christ? None. Not a hand, and that's good. Okay? And none that you can commit. All right? In him we have he has blessed us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose. Are you getting the idea that salvation is about him and not about us? That's why the scripture calls it his salvation. You ever read that? And you think, oh, that's a misprint or something. There are no misprints in God's inspired and errant word. It is His salvation that He freely gives through grace by faith. And that not of yourselves, the faith is of you or me either. It is a gift of God. Wow, this gets plainer all the time, doesn't it? Verse 10, as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of His glory. There it is again. In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, and were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. That's what it's all about. To the praise of His glory. To the praise of His glory. Wow. Turn over to Revelation with me, chapter 1, and I'll show you what Him being glorified looks like in part. Okay? Turn over to Revelation 1 and verse 12. This is that one that you might say was humiliated on the cross, hanging naked before men and women filing by, deriding Him, cursing Him, mocking Him, spitting on Him, blood dripping from His body. That doesn't sound like glorification, does it? Well, I want you to see He who was on the cross now. John says he's on the island of Patmos, as you know. He's writing what's happened. And he said, then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me. And on turning, I saw seven golden lampstands. And don't get caught up with the lampstands, okay? In the midst of the lampstands, that's what you want to focus on. In the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man. Know anybody call themselves a son of man? Jesus, okay? One like the son of man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined in a furnace, and his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand he held the seven stars, and from his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full strength. That's the best John could do when he saw the glorified Jesus. Don't do this, okay? Little ones, don't do this. Big ones, don't do this. But if the sun were out today and you walked out of here around 3 o'clock this afternoon when we finished, no, about to, whatever, all right. That woke them up, didn't it, huh? Okay. And you glance up at the sun. Don't do it, okay? It will blind you. It's so bright, it'll blind you. We can't look into the sun because of its brightness. And his face was like the sun shining in full strength. Not a cloudy day. Full sunshine. That's the glorified Jesus. Look over at Revelation 4. We see another picture of him glorified. After this I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here, and I'll show you what must take place after this. At once I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven with one seated on the throne. And he who sat there had the appearance of jasper. Now, John is struggling at this point. He sees stuff he's never seen before. He sees stuff he can't explain. And the best that he can do is as bright as the sun and the most valuable treasures on this earth. And he's going to describe them. He uses all of those to describe who who he sees. And he who was there had an appearance of jasper and carnelian, and around the throne was a rainbow that had the appearance of emerald. And around the throne there were 24 thrones, and seated on the thrones were 24 elders, clothed in white garments with golden crowns on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder, and before the throne were burning seven torches of fire, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was, as it were, a sea of glass. Anybody know who that is? Huh? Do you know who that is? It's you and me and Brand and Ryan and Joanna and Shirley. That sea of glass, those gathered around the throne, I believe that's the redeemed. We won't part fellowship over that either, okay? Around the throne, on each side of the throne, are four living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. The first living creature like a lion, the second creature like an ox, the third living creature with the face of man, and the fourth living creature like an eagle in flight. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within, and day and night they never cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who's seated on the throne, that's the focus of the glory. He who's seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who is seated on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are You, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they existed and were created." One of these days, if we ever finish the book of John, I think we may go over here and look at John's revelation on Patmos. But that'll be, a long time probably, okay? Same writer. He has recorded here what Jesus said about Him being glorified, and then John gets to see it on Patmos. I'll hurry, okay? What happens when people, men and women, refuse to glorify God? Fair question, wouldn't you say? There has to be this, but there's also this. Look over in Romans with me. Romans chapter 1. This is what it looks like for those who refuse to glorify Him. Look at verse 18, Romans 1, 18. This is not heaven, by the way, okay? This is not where we were. Verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men and women, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them." You ever wondered about the heathens of wherever who have never heard the gospel? Is God going to hold them accountable? This is the verse. Romans 1:19. Okay? God has shown it to them. All right? God has shown it to them. Verse 20, "For His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things they have been made. So they are without excuse." So there's nobody that's going to have an excuse. "Well, I didn't know. Hey, can't hold me. Can't blame me. I didn't know." What He's saying here is, I've shown every person. Verse 21. For although they knew God, to whatever degree that is, whether it's revealed in His creation or whether they sat in a church service every Sunday for 50 years, for although they knew God, listen, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. What it's saying here is these that he's talking about refused to give God glory and substituted stuff for him. And gave glory to the stuff and not to the one who created them for them to give glory to him by becoming like him. They refused to do it. Therefore, God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions, for their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. I live at 3876 Highway D. Give my address out to those that are coming after me if you want to. I don't care. He says what he means and he means what he says. And the Supreme Court of the United States cannot trump what Jehovah God says. Okay? Do you see what he said? When he gives them up, them being any person who refused to glorify him, this is what happens. This is who those who refuse to glorify God become. Debaucherous in his eyes. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do that what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy and murder and strife and deceit and maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. That though they know God's decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. These are those who refuse to glorify God. This is what it looks like. Not politically correct either, is it? This. Did anybody read along with me there? Was it on the screen? Did I make this up? Is this something I got out of Cracker Jack and said, I'm going to wow those people today? I didn't say this, folks. I just read it. There are two camps, those who glorify God by grace through faith unto salvation, and those who know of him but reject him and refuse him. And this last group are those who refuse to glorify God. I want to read one more verse. Look over to Romans 8:30. If you're in Christ Jesus this morning, this is where you fit in, okay? You've been in several of these places already, I think. Hope not the last one. But look at Romans 8 and verse 30. Again, put your label makers away, all right? Here we go. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Here it is. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. I don't understand, okay? I don't understand. But we're going to share in his glorification. But the only way that we can do that if we're like him. Holy and without blemish. Holy and without sin. And everyone here this morning who knows Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior fits that description. You are holy and without sin in the eyes of Jehovah God. And your plan of His plan of glorification for you is yet to be expressed experientially. We're going to have a new body. Whose body is it going to be like? His glorified body. I don't know all that this means, but I'm all in. I want to get in this line. I'm in this line, okay? And I can't get out of this line. Does it get any better? I don't think so. God wills that His new creations, you and me, be glorified. So there you have it. That's what Jesus was talking about when He talked about five times in those two verses that He and the Father would be glorified, and that interchange of being glorified in Him, that language. That's what He's talking about. That's what gives purpose to this life. And I want to tell you something, folks. If we can ever get a hold of the glorified Lord Jesus and the glorified Father, the things of earth grow strangely dim. We get to the place where, okay. And our focus is not any longer on here and now, but it's a longing for what we read about this morning. That time when we are literally in His presence. Folks, I'd get depressed too if I didn't have a hope that exceeds the bounds of this life. Matt, can you think of anything more depressing? That's why Alexander the Great and all these people who have accomplished a lot and got all this money and fame and all this kind of thing, they're depressed. Many of them have gone insane. Some of the great philosophers in history. The guy that said God is dead back in the 60s, who was that, Chuck? Nietzsche. Committed suicide, died insane. He had the answer. No, He didn't. You see? And that's why these people who have rejected Him, the disciples, okay, not betrayed Him, but they ran and hid except for John, that's why every one of them are going to come and die a martyr's death because of Jesus. That's why Christians today, okay, will not bow a knee to whomever, but they will live and die even a martyr's death because they see that glorification that He was talking about there in Romans. He gives eternal life. Everybody okay with that? He said, also, I'll give you abundant life. Okay? You know what that is, don't you? All that you need and more to give. Okay? And my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's the promise of the abundant life. And He gives you joy and peace and contentment. All of that is a part of this whole package that ultimately leads to Him being glorified. I want in that line. Do you? Let's pray. Lord, I understand a little bit what John struggled with. When he tried to describe your glorification. I can't understand how some of the wicked people of this day in history would bow their knee and proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of you, God the Father. That just doesn't seem to be possible. Yet it's all true. And you set that plan in motion when you said, let there be light. And there was. And you created man in your image. And you gave male and female responsibility over your creation that you said was good. And Lord, you said that your creation of human beings was very good. And then we sinned. Then we said we wanted to be like God. Only it wasn't what you had in store, what you had in mind. It was what our corrupt minds could contrive. So, Father, then you set in motion the panorama of history, knowing that Jesus was going to go to the cross and make it possible for us to be free of the sin debt that we owed that we could not pay. And Jesus went to the cross, shed his blood. And you were glorified in that because now your creation could be restored to fellowship with you. For we could be like you, holy and without sin, not because of our effort, but because of your mercy and grace. It all makes sense. It all makes sense, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. That your plan from the beginning was to glorify your name. And now we see it just over the horizons of our life. To you be the glory. Great things you have done. Jesus' name. Amen. If you're not in this line, I figured